What is up, Level Up Nation? Welcome to episode 117 of the Level Up Podcast, your home for gaming and esports news, brought to you by the Overtime Network. My name is John, and I am joined by the Jigglypuff main himself, and no, he does not just spam sing the entire time. It is the king of the courtside, Joey. Salutations, sir.
Salutations, John. I actually do not think I've played Jigglypuff since Smash Brothers on the 64.
When you do play Ultimate, I am just going to go ahead and assume you're a Jigglypuff main, so we're just going to keep it that way. Simple as that. Nation, if you want to follow the Jigglypuff main himself, head on over to Twitter. You can find him not at Jigglypuff main, but at Courtside King. That's Joey. Hi, Joey. And while you're at it, go ahead and give me a follow as well. That is at Fiasco, both on the Twitterverse. If you're watching live here on Twitch, welcome. Those handles are for you beneath our mugshots below. And if you're listening to the podcast later on, you'll find those in the show notes as well. Nation, the wait is over. The newly branded LEC kicked off this past weekend. And for all of you NA fans, the LCS kicks off this week. The hype is real. But believe it or not, we have even more game and esports news for you this week. Joey, what else are we talking about this week on episode 117?
John, the LEC is actually our big topic this week. Not only did it kick off, but they have also been killing it in partnerships. It feels like half of the organizations have locked down really big partnerships as well as the league itself. So we'll be diving into those as well as some new rulings in the NALCS, now branded as the LCS. Soulja Boy could be entering into esports as well. So a lot of exciting stuff in this episode.
Soulja Boy. That is a name I have not heard in probably a solid... When was he relevant? Seven years ago? Something like that?
It's been a minute.
All right, enough Soulja Boy, Joey. We have a lot of topics we have to get to, but we can't do it without the aid of our trusty drink of choice. So for the 117th time, sir, I need your beverage, please.
John, I'm going with a Jameson and ginger tonight.
Oh, look at you. Classy. Was that a pinky extended and everything? Did I just see a pinky extension?
There might have been some pinky there, but there's also some index finger there.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll stick with the pinky.
Are you high-classing the Level Up Podcast and the Level Up Nation with that pinky extension? That is absolutely... Nation, one word for you. Tequila. Let's go. We have our liquor. We have our booze, Joey. We have our topics. Without further ado, Joey, let's get right into gaming and esports news. Let's go.
John, kicking it off in PUBG, G2 Esports has redeployed their PUBG squad for the PEL with Brexco, Udyr, It's Chris, and Kaint coming in for them. PUBG is one of those titles we've been watching quite a bit on. They continue to build up these leagues, but we haven't really seen it take off yet. I think they're making the right idea with the structural league format. At the same point, Battle Royales, there's so much randomization. I feel like we've hit on this so much. It's hard to do in a league format because of that. It's almost like it's better off as a one-off tournament type, sort of like we see with CSGO, Dota 2, for example. So I'm interested to see how this translates over to a league. But again, a big organization like G2, once again, reaffirming their interest in buying in again.
And it's great. G2, one of the bigger organizations out there in esports, buying into PUBG. And Joey, you hit the nail right on the head. A lot of question marks still around the Battle Royale esports scene. But really, PUBG's put forth the best effort at creating what kind of looks like a league-based format. There's still a lot of question marks around it, but on paper, it kind of makes sense. What Fortnite is doing is still kind of, head-scratching a little bit, but it's good to see PUBG making those steps and organizations buying back in to PUBG. So great news for G2 bringing themselves back into that scene.
Switching gears over to Rocket League, we have Dignitas welcoming Rising Star Yukio from Flipside Tactics, and he will compete alongside Violent Panda and Turbo Pulsa, names that those of you who follow the Rocket League scene know very well, as they've won championships over and over and over again. He will be joining them again for this upcoming season, so exciting stuff there with Yukio, a new name on that Dignitas roster. In addition to that, John, Fnatic is taking a step back from Rocket League, bidding farewell to their team and their sub. They've decided they're going to reevaluate their self in the scene.
Now, so obviously two big stories here. First off, let's talk on Dignitas real quick. What an amazing opportunity to be a rising star, to be a rookie, to play next to two legends like Violent Panda and Turbo Plosa. I mean, Turbo Plosa is what, a four-time RLCS champion? I mean, that is insane. That was like four championships in a row he had. That is such an amazing experience to be a rising star, to be a rookie within the scene, being stuck with two amazing big names in the Rocket League scene, I think that is an absolutely fantastic opportunity for him going forward. And with Fnatic, it sucks. It really does. Fnatic, another great esport organization, one of the largest in the entire world, has their hand in almost every title. When they bought into Rocket League, Joey, I know you were excited. I was excited. Fnatic, a very world-class organization, doing everything first rate. And it really sucks to see them take that step back from Rocket League, because there's so much potential there from them as an organizational standpoint. And they were competitive. It's not like they were finishing dead last in every tournament that they were competing in. You know, they didn't, you know, bring home a ton of titles or anything, but they were still competitive. So it'll be interesting to see what Fnatic does going forward. Will they re-enter the scene? Will they stay out of it for good? That's the question mark.
And that's the big key. The fact that they didn't say they were leaving it completely. The fact that they're still open, they're reevaluating it. I think the biggest thing here is that they paid a lot of money for a lot of these players, Maestro and Snasky in particular. They're pretty costly players. The fact that they put forward the money and then they ended up getting relegated this past season is kind of the killer. The fact that they were not able to stay in that main league, minor leagues, we all know, and most esports do not pay as much as these major leagues, and it's a significant drop-off, similar to what we see with the EPL and English soccer. In those second-tier leagues, the money is not there. You cannot afford first-tier athletes in those leagues very easily. I think that's the big issue here for Fnatic. They're reevaluating, do they want to buy in with a different set of talent, or do we want to step back from the scene, watch it grow, see if it continues to be on its up and up? Because I think you and I, John, both think Rocket League has a high ceiling, and it's going to continue to grow over the next few years.
It's probably the best crossover esport title. The biggest argument people make in esports, or the biggest challenge that they constantly bring up, is how do we bring over the people that enjoy traditional sports to esports to show them that it is entertaining, it is competitive, that this is a legitimate scene, that this is a scene that isn't too complicated, surrounded by numbers and math and items and all these different variables that go into games. Things like a League of Legends or even an Overwatch, some people can see that as confusing and hard to watch. Rocket League is soccer with RC cars. Rocket RC cars. Cars that fly through. Cars that do things that not even human gymnastics can do. And it's really entertaining to watch. It's really exciting, and it's straightforward. Most goals win. It's very simple, the idea behind it, and it's a great crossover esport. That's why there's such a potential here with Rocket League. It's the reason why there's so much hype around it, because Rocket League, Joe, and I think you'll agree with me here, is that sport that can really, really connect with that traditional sports audience to really make that esport audience grow even larger, especially here in North America, where esports, you know, the numbers are great, but they're not up there like we see in Asia, like in Southeast Asia, Korea, China, and you know, those other countries over there in Asia. We're not seeing those same kind of numbers here just yet. Rocket League has that potential. So it's really exciting to see the scene grow, but then when we get news like this, when Fnatic even drops out, a name that is worldwide, it does hurt a little bit, but hopefully they reevaluate and come back and really help make that crossover work.
Yeah, it's crazy to say this, John. I feel like we talked about this about 100 episodes ago at this point.
Yeah.
But we were talking about how Rocket League translates as a sport, and with so many more people buying in, with esports estimated at $2.1 billion coming up in 2020, I think this is a great esport to translate people to, just like you were saying. In addition to that, we have chat making up a really good point here with Squirkle. It's very interesting to see that the Rocket League scene is not franchised yet. League of Legends, even, it took forever to franchise. I think Rocket League has got to be one of those next scenes to come for franchising.
Yeah, I mean, you would have to see that. I mean, but at the same time, the big issue is there's a lot of small organizations, and I do like the whole relegation idea. I think that does keep the scene fresh. It allows other organizations to have a chance to come in. When you franchise it, yes, it guarantees you a spot and guarantees the money and guarantees the marketing and everything else, which is what your sponsors want. And that's great. That makes a lot of sense. The question then becomes, if you franchise it, is it guaranteed money? Does it have that same kind of income, that same kind of pull that we're seeing in Overwatch League, that we're seeing in League of Legends, you know, two leagues that have franchise systems already? Is it guaranteed money when we're seeing organizations like Fnatic who, you know, to argue, you know, they have enough money. It's not like they're hurting for money when it comes to, you know, paying players or anything. They're making a smart investment choice. They're making a smart business choice by dropping their roster if they're not fully committed to it. That makes sense. But can you really franchise at that kind of low level if you can't justify the income that would be coming from it? I guess that's my big question is there enough there to justify the franchise system in Rocket League?
Yeah, I think it's the same thing with the LEC, though, what we just saw with the former EULCS. Now you see these other organizations that were not willing to touch League of Legends before because the franchising is there. You now have that security. Yes, Rocket League might not make the money League of Legends does, and it probably will take quite some time if it even comes close to it. But at the same point, if you have that security, Fnatic's willing to flip over roster moves as opposed to go out completely knowing they have another year in that relegation system.
No,
so I think with that being said, you have a lot more money that could go in from the organizational side.
No, and you're absolutely right. And, you know, Rocket League already has some really awesome sponsors so far. So, I mean, yeah, you franchise it, you'll probably be bringing in other sponsors, kind of like we're seeing, like you said, in the LEC with a lot of major car sponsors coming in, which we'll touch on later on in the segment. So it's a valid point. Do you take that risk and you can get the investors that may not want to touch it because they're afraid of that relegation system because it's still not a proven, if you will, structure? You know, it's a lot of things that esports are still struggling with is, you know, will this stand the test of time, kind of like we've seen with professional sports leagues going forward. But hey, shout out to Niskin Cup of Noodles, first off, for sponsoring Rocket League. They were all over the place for every Rocket League tournament, it feels like. So, you know, give them a shout out for being probably one of the best and funniest sponsors ever to jump into esports. So that's pretty awesome.
They were, because we went to the season 4 world championship and they were postered up everywhere
and everyone got a free cup of noodles. I mean, come on, it's free food in a cup.
So, and I don't want to spend much more time on Rocket League, but the last thing I have to say that I think is holding this scene back really is the fact that not every team plays every week. They have teams that'll go like 2 weeks with no games, or they'll have one team play two games each week. The fact that their schedule is so inconsistent, I think, hurts it on an organizational perspective because you're not getting the advertising that you want from the league. And in addition to that, it's hard to be a fan. Why am I going to be a Fnatic fan of Rocket League if they play once or twice every 3 weeks? I want to see them play every week. I think it needs to go to a more standard format like we see with Overwatch League, like we see with League of Legends, where we can see teams play every single week, where those standings stay consistent. If you go 2 weeks without seeing a team play, are they still the top team? Are they still the bottom team? We really don't know how they've improved over those 2 weeks. So to me, you need more schedule consistency as well in the league. Fnatic extends their partnership with OnePlus. I forgot to mention this one last week, guys, when we went through all those Fnatic partnerships. OnePlus is becoming their leading jersey sponsor of 2019. In case you guys haven't seen the new Fnatic jerseys, it is giant. It's right across the middle, and it says OnePlus. So Fnatic, this has been a partnership they've had for, I feel like, 3 or 4 years now, John, and they're just continuing to build upon it. And I really like seeing this because Fnatic's not the only one doing it. We see organizations that have had these long-term partnerships. Monster is a big one that has been a huge partner for a lot of people, as well as Red Bull. They continue to expand on it. So now we're seeing streams by the players sponsored by them. We're seeing jersey sponsorships. I love the fact these long-term partnerships are being established in something as new as esports.
You know, the one thing I find interesting right now from the jerseys that have been released for the spring split, the LEC is definitely going towards a European soccer style when it comes to their jerseys, putting that big advertiser on the front, that prime spot for their jerseys, where before that was your team logo. Now they're moving it up to the upper left-hand chest area of the jersey, putting your logo there and putting the main sponsor there on the shirt. Very European style for that. I'm curious to see what the LCS will do, come up with some of their jerseys to maintain that area for their team logo. Or if you like Team Liquid and Cloud9, that part of your jersey is a blown up portion of your team logo. Like, that is legitimately your team logo right there, wrapping all the way around your jersey. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see how organizations in the LCS do with their jerseys in regards to, will they sell that space to their partners, to their investors as well, to put that logo there to get more money? I would probably have to say yes, but so far I haven't seen much of that coming out from the LCS teams.
Yeah, and LCS seems to have a lot more money than some of these other scenes right now as well, so I don't think they're really begging for it as much as the EU scene has after their lack of viewership last year. At the same point, I think as we continue to see them adapt, we'll continue to see more unique jerseys come out. Team Liquid and Cloud9 already have pretty unique jerseys. 100 Thieves came out with, it almost felt like a New York Yankees jersey, except black and red with the pinstripes. So we'll have to see how they continue to develop, especially with these new organizations that have come in the recent years. Misfits partners with streaming platform Caffeine. John, this is the first time we've talked about Caffeine, and it feels like 6 months. This competitor from developers of, I believe it was Apple, came in to try to compete with Twitch, to try to compete with Mixer, Azubu, all the other big streaming platforms out there. Now Caffeine finally has a huge partnership that we know of here with Misfits. I believe this spans all of the Misfits titles as well.
Yeah, it's great for Caffeine. This is pretty much the break they really needed. They were going up against massive juggernauts, including YouTube. YouTube is another platform that is really strong in their stream game. And Caffeine really trying to break into it. They have the technology, they have the idea behind it, but they really needed that break. This is a great break for Caffeine, bringing on Misfits organization to stream all of the Misfits players and all their content and whatnot. So that's a strong move for Caffeine. Will it translate into people crossing over to Caffeine? It might. Your diehard Misfit fans might switch everything they own over to Caffeine. I'm not quite sure what the numbers look like on Caffeine, how many people have it downloaded or use it or stream on it, and the viewership numbers. Nothing touches Twitch. Nothing really comes close to YouTube in second place. You can make that argument. And Mixer's really picking up steam as well. So it's kind of going to be interesting to see where Caffeine falls in to the stream wars, if you will, with this Misfits deal.
Yeah, I think if anything, you see a supplementary thing going on here. Maybe if you're a Twitch viewer, you look over on Caffeine when your Misfits players go live. But outside of that, I just don't know if this is enough to get them. I think Misfits is a great team for those EU fans, but in order for them to really catch steam, I think they got to pick up an organization in multiple regions as well and branch out in other titles too. Misfits, definitely well known for League of Legends. They're not as popular in other games yet. I think if you can pick up someone like a G2 Esports, a Cloud9, a Fnatic, a Team Liquid, someone who's represented in many, many titles at a very successful level, I think they jump a little bit more from that. Mercedes-Benz and German football or soccer club, as they call it in Europe, football in Europe, soccer in America, Club FC Cologne become shareholders in SK Gaming. This was prior to their week one debut, which went very well in the LEC. Another great move, John, and another big soccer club in Germany buying into esports, really. I feel like this is the third or fourth now.
Yeah, FC Cologne, a solid organization with a ton of history in the German Bundesliga and in really all the other sports that they compete in as well. It's not just a football club, but it's a true sports club going forward with FC Cologne. So it's really exciting to see them buy into SK Gaming. And, you know, Joey, we talked about this over the weekend when Fnatic was playing SK. I absolutely love the SK Gaming jerseys with that beautiful Mercedes-Benz star logo on that, on their, I believe it was on their right chest of that jersey. It just looks so crisp and so good and so clean. That's Mercedes-Benz. That's Audi now involved in the LEC. Those are two major German car manufacturers buying into esports. And look, if I'm on those teams, you know, if I'm a player on those teams, I'm trying to work that deal to get me a car, whether it's Mercedes or an Audi, I don't care. That is an awesome sponsorship. And I just, that is absolutely insane seeing these two major names jump into esports. It's absolutely outstanding. I'm excited as anything, but it's crazy to think that these 18, 19, and 20-year-old, you know, players are being sponsored by Mercedes-Benz and Audi. And if they're anything like the sponsorships that they have with these football clubs, these soccer clubs in Europe, these players are getting cars with them as well, which is insane to think of.
It's crazy to think of how many car companies and car-related items have bought into this. I mean, Mercedes-Benz, we have Audi in here, we have Shell Gasoline is another one that's bought in, Toyota for the Overwatch League. What was it, Turtle Wax bought in and sponsored something in Rocket
Turtle
League?
Wax. That one still bugs me. Turtle Wax as an esports sponsor. You've got to... Oh, no, what was it? Turtle Wax... No, they sponsored an organization. I think it was like,
something in Rocket League, some major organization in Rocket League.
Oh, that's just... Again, what 14-year-old playing Rocket League is going to convince their parents to buy Turtle Wax when they're going through the store at Walmart? Oh, Mom, yeah, they sponsor Rocket League. Get Turtle Wax. That's not how it goes.
Yeah, you never know. Those 14-year-olds, 16-year-olds need to be waxing cars out there, apparently. But hey, at least they're being innovative. I like Turtle Wax, you know. I've never used it, let me say that. But I like the fact that they're being innovative. They're trying to go out there. And hey, John, at least they went for a game that has cars in it. Could you imagine Turtle Wax sponsoring League of Legends? Like, how does that translate? What, are you going to wax up Rammus' shell or something?
Make sure your Baron power play is shiny as ever with turtle wax. There you go. Perfect pitch right there. It's absolutely amazing.
Oh, my gosh. Wrecked Global and Rogue, another organization in the LEC. Rogue also plays a few other titles. They had a pretty good Overwatch team for a while. They are also in, I believe, CSGO. They have a pretty good presence. But anyway, Rogue buying in here, Wrecked Global, $10.8 million in Series A funding. Once again, another huge Series A funding. It feels like we've had, I want to say it's been 6 to 10 that have raised over $10 million in this past year in Series A funding. So the fact that esports continues to bring in the big dollars, $10 million for a pretty new organization coming in here.
Joey, how's our Series A funding looking like for OTN and Level Up Podcast?
We are not at $10.8 million, not yet. But if you'd like to, hit the subscribe button on Twitch.
Hey, good pitch. I like it.
Then from there, let's talk Lagardère. Lagardère Sports will act as the exclusive marketing agency for the LEC. This is an LEC sponsorship. We're going to have a few of these coming up. This is huge, John. The fact that the league has now completely rebranded itself and it's setting up its own sponsorships. They have a marketing one here. In addition to this, Shell is joining as an official partner as well. Goes right along with the whole car pairings, right? And then from there, they also have a Twitter partnership. Twitter has sponsored them as well. And the big thing with this one is now we have hashtags for the LEC teams. Overall, we saw LCS teams, we saw CSGO teams. A lot of these LEC organizations, I keep wanting to call it EULCS, they kept getting knocked down. They didn't end up getting their official hashtags until now. But now with this Twitter sponsorship, we are seeing LEC hashtags. So you can now hashtag FNC win, hashtag SK win, tons of them out there, as well as other things like hashtag always fanatic. The little mottos that the teams go by as well. So I love the fact we now see them on Twitter, in addition to this Shell sponsorship and a beautiful marketing sponsorship that has been killing it so far for the LEC.
Yeah, I don't think Fnatic needed that hashtag this past weekend.
Oh, heyo. Maybe they needed a little bit more than they got it.
Yeah.
Then Team Liquid over in the NA, now the LCS. Team Liquid is partnered up with Jersey Mike's. We already saw Jersey Mike's sponsor the NALCS last year, now joining on as a team sponsor for the organization of Team Liquid as well.
I freaking love this partnership. First off, if you don't know what Jersey Mike's is, it's by far one of the best sub chains anywhere in the world. Fight me on Twitter, I don't care. It's freaking amazing. First off, they have like 18 different sizes of subs, it feels like, and they have their largest one is card like it's called the I'm blanking on what the title of it is, but literally, I kid you not, I'm gonna try to do this if you're watching here on Twitch. You see the length of my arm right here? That is how long that damn sandwich is. It is insane how long that sandwich. I have a plus 6 foot wingspan. That tells you how long that sandwich is. It's literally over like a foot and a half long. I feel like it's like 18 inches long. It is absolutely absurd. And they don't skip out on the meats. Subway. They don't skip out on the meats. They pack it all in there. All the veggies, all the meats. It's absolutely fantastic. Love this partnership. Team Liquid is absolutely killing it lately. And I will be celebrating by going to Jersey Mike's tomorrow for lunch.
Well, if you head there, it is a giant sub that you're speaking of, and it's supposed to feed four people.
No, I'm not talking about that one.
Okay. No, and it's the regular, I guess.
Is it the is the giant really supposed to feed four people? Ooh.
It is, or maybe two of you.
I've never had it before. I'll tell you that. That thing is way too intimidating. I get the regular size, please, or like whatever. It's like that big.
Okay, moving on from John's 6-inch sub, let's talk about some of the elements of this. Jersey Thursdays is part of this deal. The two brands will launch feature content from superstars across Team Liquid's competitive lineup. Every first Thursday of the month, Team Liquid will give away one Team Liquid jersey and $50 Jersey Mike gift cards to fulfill a lucky fan sub sandwich craving. Then we have Jersey Mic'd. During practice, boot camp, and select tournaments, Team Liquid will mic up their players to capture the realest moments in esports available for fans to download. A fan above, this global search for Team Liquid's biggest fan will comb fan sites and social media to find the most dedicated Team Liquid supporters and invite finalists to compete for a grand prize, a chance to visit and tour Team Liquid's training facility in Santa Monica, California, along with other perks. And last but not least, the last part of this partnership, subs for dubs. Team Liquid and Jersey Mike's will celebrate Team Liquid tournament wins by offering fans special discounts on sandwiches, meals, and more. That last one is huge, John, in my opinion. We see this already in so many sports. College basketball is a huge one. NFL, baseball, nationals. When the nationals win, you get discounts. Now when Team Liquid wins, you can get discounts at Jersey Mike's. This is going to happen in, it looks like, about 2,000 locations nationwide. So a sub above is going to be available for many, many people. Subs for Dubs as well. So Team Liquid wins. Now you can get that giant sub on a discount.
Again, not having that giant sub at all. But Subs for Dubs, that is such a great deal. And I can't wait to see more of these in esports where restaurants or organizations or whatever that are sponsoring these esport orgs, that when they do win, in this case in League of Legends, you get a discount. It's so smart. Papa John's in the at least the D.C. area, I think they do it countrywide, but it changes. Like you said, if the Nationals win and they score 7 runs, you get 50% off of Papa John's pizza. Granted, their pizza is already $20. $10 for a pizza is still a really good deal. A lot of people do it. McDonald's does it also. They score a run in the first inning. You get free fries with a order of a drink or something like that. This is so smart to bring this to esports, and I can't wait to see how this plays out in the future. But, Joey, I want to direct your attention to what Liquid Steve said right below Subs for Dubs. This is truly something out of the Joey Pun playbook. Liquid Steve goes, "This is truly the best addition to our sub bench we have ever announced." That is a grade A Joey pun if I've ever heard one in my life said by anyone else other than the king of the courtside.
Steve's got a good game, John. I mean, we've talked to him a bit on social media before, and he has some good comebacks. I like the pun, Steve.
Great
Thank
guy.
You, sir.
Great guy.
Sticking with the LCS, the NALCS Players Association has worked with Riot Games to install a new rule regarding players being dropped within 48 hours of roster locks. Players dropped within 48 hours of a roster lock will now have an extended 72 hours to be signed by another team. This is big, John. This is big in so many ways. One, the fact that the Players Association is being listened to by Riot Games is huge in and of itself. We saw 3 players get dropped right at the deadline last year. It was like 45 minutes before the roster sign deadline. It was Phoenix from Echo Fox. I believe it was Altec, and I think it was Adrian as well. All 3 Echo Fox players were dropped, and they didn't give other teams a chance to sign them because it was right at the deadline. Now those players get a grace period. We see them getting an additional 3 days, an additional 72 hours to negotiate with new teams. I mean, this was a team in first place when these players got dropped. Echo Fox was in first, and they dropped their mid laner and their bot lane, which was paired up as one of the first or second best in fantasy points and wins for the season.
No, you're absolutely right. This is such a great move. And it really kind of bothers me, too, that this rule had to even be put in place, because this is something that I think esports can learn from traditional sports, where there needs to be a bigger window when it comes to things like this. And this is a step in the right direction by giving them an extended 72 hours. But really, when you think about it, that's like 3 days. Like, so you have 3 days to legitimately call up an organization. And not everything can go as smooth as how Jensen went to Team Liquid, where, all in the same day, all within a 12-hour period, Jensen went to Jack and said, "Hey, I want to explore other opportunities." Jack asked him, "Well, what team were you looking at?" Jensen said Liquid. Jack called Steve at Team Liquid, said, "Hey, would you be interested in Jensen?" They met same day. Steve and Jensen met up. They agreed to terms. Cloud9 dropped and Liquid added all within the same day. And that was according to an interview Jensen just did with Travis Gafford. So, that's pretty impressive. Not all organizations do that, as we see. We saw it from Echo Fox, and there's other organizations that don't do that. And it's a shame. So it's good to see this window being added into those teams for those players that get dropped within that time frame at the last second, which, in my personal opinion, is very unprofessional. Dropping them within a 48-hour time window between a roster lock, you're literally setting them up to not get paid, to not get money for their trade, to not play against you. I understand, I guess it makes sense why you would do it that way, but at the same time, it's dirty, and that's not what we need in esports. So I'm glad to see Riot step in and do this in regards, working with the Players Association for the LCS. I keep wanting to say NALCS also, so I feel your pain there, Joey. It's good to see them do that. I think it's a step in the right direction, but I want to see more. I want to see a bigger time window here.
I mean, I would love to see a week-long time window, but I feel like this should be an emergency situation, if anything. At this point, as esports continues to get a more professional outlook, as we continue to see it more and more in the news, I feel like organizations have got to grow up. We got to see organizations being more professional. They need to think about the players as well as themselves. They need to say, hey, this player needs time to be signed. Let's give him a week. Let's drop him a week before the deadline. Give him time to talk, and then he gets these additional 3 days, so we're looking at a 10-day period. Overall, I think this should be an emergency rule. This should not be a necessity. This should just happen in very rare cases, which should never happen in the first place. KFC has announced a Call of Duty tournament. They'll host their first Call of Duty tournament with the game's Battle Royale mode Blackout. The tournament will feature 50K, that's 63.7K in US dollars as the prize pool. And KFC will also be offering a KFC Black Card, which gives the holder daily KFC food for free as an additional prize. It'll host a Call of Duty Black Ops 4 tournament featuring 16 content creators centered on the game's Blackout Battle Royale style. Again, we went over the prize pool. In addition to this prize pool, they're getting that black card. The event is going to kick off on January 17th. More details on the event format to come later on. The invited content creators will be revealed at a later date as well. This is big. We already saw KFC make a huge partnership last year with Royal Never Give Up in the Chinese League of Legends scene. Now jumping forward in Call of Duty, exploring a new scene and putting quite a bit on the line. Obviously not a huge prize pool, $63,000 in today's day and age for esports. At the same point, as a restaurant, as a chain, continuing to find their way into esports, I think this is a great introduction.
Yeah, KFC is really killing it with their entry into esports. You already mentioned that partnership they have now hosting their own tournament. I think that's great. KFC actively involved in traditional sports as well, and now we're seeing them make a bigger impact into esports. Yeah, the prize pool isn't sexy. It isn't big. It isn't multiple millions of dollars, but it's a start. It's a step in the right direction, and it's good for Call of Duty, and this is for their Battle Royale mode. So this is arguably a third-tier Battle Royale game right now next to Fortnite and PUBG. You could probably make an argument for third or fourth here for them. So it's about right. It's good for both parties involved. KFC gets to explore more options into esports, and Call of Duty gets their Battle Royale mode sponsored and will draw people to watch their game, their version of Battle Royale. So there's a lot of good for both parties involved in this operation.
Next up on the slate, we have Walmart becoming the first major grocery chain to put esports arenas in its stores. This is a unique one, John. I'm not surprised it's Walmart doing it, to be honest, though. Walmart has begun installing these esports arenas in some of its stores. It's going to host league nights of competitive gaming during the weekdays, as well as tournaments on the weekends, but also has open play sessions available. You can pay $5 per hour to do open play whenever you want, or participate in league nights for $10 a night. Okay, my big question here, how does this impact gaming cafes and gaming lounges? I personally would still take a gaming lounge or gaming cafe that I've got to know people at, that I understand these people actually know esports, as opposed to this Walmart setting. At the same point, I love the fact Walmart's jumping into it. I don't know how this is going to translate personally.
Yeah, so I have a lot of question marks around it. I do feel like this will impact gaming lounges all around the country. Walmart is massive. There's five in every city at least, if not more. I know currently where I'm sitting, I know of three all within a 10-mile range of me. And that's absurd. When it comes to gaming lounges, in Northern Virginia alone, there's three in Northern Virginia. When you venture up north into D.C. and Maryland, there's some more there. But there's three in an entire metropolitan region of millions and millions of people. And there's like 25 Walmarts. If those Walmarts get these esport arenas, yeah, it's going to impact, you know, the local gaming lounges. And that's what Walmart does. I mean, even in their business practice down to the core, when they move in, local businesses end up suffering because they can't match those same prices. Now, at $5 an hour, that's roughly on par with where gaming lounges are. So they're going to have to offer something else to really attract people to these esport arenas. Are they going to be in every single Walmart? And if they are, think about some of those rural Walmarts. You know, is there going to be enough esport fans in rural areas of America to justify having thousands and thousands of dollars invested in the equipment to hold an esports arena in a Walmart? What kind of computers are we looking at? Are we looking at these Walmart-branded gaming rigs that they're coming out with that a lot of people are skeptical about? Or are we looking at, you know, you know, Alienware? Are we looking at iBuyPower rigs? Are we looking at custom-built rigs being brought in? There's a lot of question marks around this. I'm interested to see how this goes forward. But at the same time, Joey, I'm not surprised, like you said, that Walmart's doing this. You know, it's a good gamble on the side of Walmart. They really don't lose much. They're a multi-billion dollar corporation, so they're not going to lose anything by doing this. I'm kind of curious to see how this is going to expand over the next couple of years. It's an interesting tactic, and I hope it doesn't put local gaming cafes out of business because of it.
I mean, I think, okay, so if I'm a parent going into a store, I think, hey, I don't want my child going here and grabbing different things and putting them in a cart. Maybe I let them go to this gaming cafe. But if I'm a teenager with the choice of going to this Walmart gaming cafe, but if I have the choice of going to a gaming cafe as a teenager or going to Walmart, I feel like 9 times out of 10, I'm going to go to the gaming cafe. I have a better chance of building relationships there because people are going to be more consistent than the Walmart. In addition to that, they also have warmer food at a lot of these gaming cafes as opposed to the Walmart with their frozen dinners and different things going on there. So I don't know. It's interesting. I could see something cool like inter-Walmart tournaments being kind of an interesting thing. At the same point, when I think Walmart, I don't necessarily think esports arena and gaming time. Like, the way they advertise it is, during your big shopping run, stop by and game for a few hours. Like, who does that? Who just pauses during their shopping run and games for a few hours?
Yeah, and you know, I mean, maybe it's just me, but when I go to Walmart, I go into Walmart and get out of Walmart as fast as possible. I don't like, personally, spending that much time in Walmart. I am not going to go to Walmart to play League of Legends, because that guarantees me that I'm going to be there for 45 minutes. I do not want to be in Walmart that long. You put this in a Target? Maybe. Maybe I'll stay there. Maybe I'll play a game of League or two. Maybe I'll play Overwatch in a Target esport arena. But really, Walmart has such a bad reputation when it comes to stuff like that. But, you know, it's interesting. And I think you made a lot of really good valid points here. Just the overall environment of a gaming lounge, a gaming center, a PC bang, if you will, Walmart cannot replicate that. Ignite in Chicago, probably my favorite gaming lounge anywhere in North America, just really the golden standard in my head. They have amazing partnerships. They have amazing rigs. They have amazing periffs, the games and pricing and everything. They have an amazing community. Can you build a community at a Walmart? And I really don't think you can. A Walmart's not a community center. It's not a community staple. And if it is, I feel sorry for that town, wherever Walmart is, if that's your community center. But it's out there. It is, and that's fine. But I just don't see esports being attractive enough in those areas that would justify putting thousands and thousands of dollars into an esports arena, into a Walmart. It's a big gamble, really, when it comes down to it. But Walmart is in a position to take that gamble because they're not going to lose much if it doesn't work. And it's great for esports arena. I believe this is the same esports arena based out of Las Vegas. So it's great for them to get their name out there even more and expand into other areas and kind of test the market to see what areas do well with their version of an esports arena in that area. And who knows, maybe we'll see another esport arena like we see in Las Vegas one day here in DC or in New York or in Atlanta or in Dallas. You never know. I feel like it's great for, I feel like esport arena gets a bigger bang out of this deal than Walmart does. Walmart really has nothing to lose.
Yeah, and I'm very curious how this goes. Like, I could see something, I don't know if an arcade would do well, but I think something that's more pick up and play, something quick, like maybe Smash would do well here. I just don't see League of Legends, like something that takes longer, doing that well here. If I want to play something like that, I'm going to go to a Xanadu, the Cave, Soul PC. There's so many other ones in the area. But if I'm just stopping by, maybe you stop by the Walmart and play that Slate game before you head out. It doesn't make much sense to me. Like, if I'm going to check out, why am I going to stop by this gaming cafe on the way home? I don't know. Maybe it'll work. It'll be interesting if they put one near us. I'd be curious to at least check it out and see how it's going. At the same point, I'm very interested to see how this goes as they continue to develop it more.
So, Joey, I'm going to bring up a question that our lovely chat room has brought up. Will OTN be sponsoring a Walmart team?
OTN will not be sponsoring a Walmart team anytime soon.
What about a Target team?
Oh, if Target installs it, we might be able to talk a little bit more.
Yeah, there you go.
With that, Soulja Boy is also looking to start his own team. He's actually looking at the esports organization in general, looking to field players in Overwatch, Fortnite, Smash, CSGO, Gears of War, and other titles. John, would you be ready for Soulja Boy's team?
No. No. Look. I understand why he's doing it. I get it. No. Just, when was the last time Soulja Boy was relevant? You know, why is this a thing? Is he looking for a way to get back into the limelight? Is he looking just a way to make a quick, look, okay, fine. It's money coming into esports. I guess I should be happy. But Soulja Boy he's become such a meme. You know, especially with that Soulja Boy dance and everything and all the other fun stuff. You know, hopefully he's a better esport team manager than he is a rapper. Joey, I'm not trying out for any of his teams. It's as simple as that. I honestly have a hard time taking this venture seriously from Soulja Boy. And that's on me. It may work out for him. I hope it does work out for him. It'd be great for esports. But on me, I can't take that seriously.
I mean, is it just me or do you question Soulja Boy's funding?
I question everything.
He can't possibly make that much money at this point, right?
I mean, when was the last time he had a hit song? I mean, literally, the only thing I know is of his, like, I think his breakout single, Soulja Boy. and that stupid dance move that came out from it. You know, it's like, that's the only thing I can think of. Can a one-hit wonder like Soulja Boy really have that kind of money to break into esports and buy a Fortnite team or an Overwatch team? God forbid he buys an Overwatch team. Does he have a spare 25 mil lying around somewhere?
60. They're asking 60 for this season.
60 mil for next season. Does he have 60 million just lying around in his back pocket? I have no idea. I highly doubt it. Not from being a one-hit wonder. I don't know what record label he signed to, and I don't know if they're behind this either. Is this a whole publicity stunt? This is terrible. I can't take this serious at all.
Soulja Boy up in esports. Not feeling it. We'll have to see, though. I mean, he seems very bold here. He's trying to put a team in almost every league, it feels like, except for what? League of Legends being the big one missing here. So we'll see. If I'm Soulja Boy, I think I start a little smaller here. Maybe I do a little mobile gaming, some Clash Royale League or something like that. Going right into these big $60 million price tag leagues, I don't know if I feel it, Soulja Boy.
I love this real quick. Again, chat hitting it on the point here. Soulja Boy will have the best organization. Don't forget the Soulja Game Boy. He will fund his organization by selling his consoles, the Soulja Game Boy. That is out freaking standing. No, I will not be buying that game console either. I want nothing to do with Soulja Boy going forward.
That's why I lost it earlier laughing. I read that. I was like, oh my
that
gosh.
That was so good.
So this next article, I think, is a foreshadowing of what we might see with Soulja Boy's organization. Heroes of the Storm players file lawsuit against Niantic owner for missing $50,000 in payments. John, we've heard this way too much. It's happened probably, it's been less than a handful of times this year, so it's been getting better, but we're still seeing these smaller organizations promise player salaries that they're not able to meet. Later down the line, the players have to sue the organization because they haven't been getting paychecks. Guys, if you're an esport player, do not play unless you're going to get paid. If you're missing multiple cycles, stop. Stop playing and talk to someone. Talk to a lawyer. Talk to your agent. You cannot go for this long. $50,000 in payments is a lot of money for this team. And those players are not making a ton of money at the same point with Heroes of the Storm. And now that team's suffering even more. Now you're on the back end trying to collect. Be upfront with this, guys. Talk to your agents early. Talk to your lawyers early. But, John, another organization failing to pay players here.
You know, it plagues esports constantly. And it really drives me up a wall that this happens time and time again. Look, some of this has to be on the player. You have to read your contract. You have to understand what you're entering into. And a lot of these smaller known organizations, a lot of these low mid-tier organizations, they do struggle financially. And you need to realize that if you're going to go with some of these organizations, that this may be a possibility. You need to read your contract. Hire a lawyer to read over your contract so you do understand it. A lot of times these organizations take advantage of the fact they're signing teenagers. They're signing 16, 17, 18, 19-year-old kids that have no legal experience. Nowhere in the public education system does it prepare you to sign a contract at that age. And, you know, you need to have someone who understands contracts look over it so you don't put yourself into a bind like this. You need to make sure the organization you sign with is reputable, has the funding, and that they can pay you. You know, just because you're 16, 17, 18, 19, it doesn't mean organizations can take advantage of you. So, you know, good for the players for filing a lawsuit, but they should have stood up a lot earlier than this to really demand pay for their trade, for their craft, for what they're making a profession at. So I do put a little bit on the players here. You need to stand up for what you deserve, what you signed up for that pay. Joey, I agree with you 100%. If they're not paying you, stop playing. It's as simple as that. Stop playing. If my job stopped paying me, I wouldn't show up. Why would I want to waste my time at a company that's not paying me? It doesn't make sense. Players need to do the same thing. You stop getting paid, paychecks stop coming in, I stop playing for you. Simple as that.
And on the organizational side, guys, stop promising players what you cannot reach. If you're going to be a new organization, one of these smaller ones trying to emerge into esports, do your networking first. Do your marketing. We have all these other bigger organizations going out and getting the Serie A funding. You might not go make $10 million like a Team Liquid or like a Splice or like some of these other orgs doing it. At the same point, who says you can't make $100,000 going out there and doing this funding? Go out there, get your funding first, and budget it. If you need a budget code, I use YNAB. I can give you a budget code, organization. Just hit me up. I mean, seriously, though, you got a budget when it comes to this stuff. You cannot promise players stuff you cannot reach. You cannot hope that you're going to win titles to make the budget that you have to pay these players. You need to get all that secure in funding. Let the prize pool be bonuses for everyone. And this is something we're going to continue to see with these smaller organizations, John. If you're not a big name, you're trying to break into this $2.1 billion that esports has, you got to do the networking and funding up front. Then from there, allow your organization to build upon it. Do not sign players you're not going to be able to pay a few months down the line. I really like this next one, John. Sea of Thieves. On February 6th, Rare is set to release an update that will reduce the overall file size for Sea of Thieves. The update will require a re-download of the game, but the new file sizes are cut significantly. Xbox One is 35 gigabytes down to 10 gigabytes. Xbox One X, 47 to 25. And PC, 47 to 27. We're looking at a 50% decrease overall, most of these, if not more. The fact that Sea of Thieves is not only going back, adding additional content into their game over the last, what, 7-8 months at this point, now we continue to see them build more, and they're reducing the file size, which is great for PC, great for Xbox, great for all of these users playing the game. And now it's just such a beautiful utility update coming out from the Rare team.
It's great. We saw other games do this. One that comes to mind is League. League is not a very intense game. It's not a very heavy game. But for some reason over the years, it kept growing and growing and growing and growing. And it's due to their spaghetti coding. They don't really fix anything in League of Legends. Just kind of patch over it. And you download all the errors with patches on patches on patches on patches, you know, resulting in a game that shouldn't be anything more than 4 gigabytes being a 28 gigabyte download. In this case, Sea of Thieves, they launch a game. There's a lot of things come out there. They've realized what they can streamline, what they can't streamline. And especially when it comes to the Xbox, you download the important parts of the game, then you run the rest off the CD. It makes a lot of sense. You save a lot of space by doing it that way. This is really great to see if you're an Xbox player and you play Sea of Thieves. It's absolutely solid if you're a PC gamer too, because 47 gigs down to 27 gigs, that 20 gigs, that's, you know, a good, you know, that frees up your hard drive if you're up there for another decent download of a good game. You know, 20 gigs is really kind of where you're at when it comes to a lot of PC games, you know, at the moment. So that frees up quite a bit. So I'm excited about it too. That's just less on your hardware. It's awesome.
Yeah, I'm curious if they've also went back and retooled some of like the loading screens as well. Like maybe when you die, it'll be a quicker load back into the game as well, or the initial load into the game as they load the whole world at once. I'm hoping in some of this streamlining process of cutting down the gigabytes, they've also looked into that process as well to decrease some of those load times too. Last but not least, let's talk LEC, John. They kicked off this past week, and we're going to kick it off with a recap of the standings. G2 Esports and Misfits tied for first at 2-0. SK Gaming, along with many other orgs here, tied in third at 1-1. That's SK Gaming, Origin, XL Esports, Schalke 04, Splice, and Team Vitality. Wrapping us up in 9th and 10th place, tied for 9th currently at 0-2, Rogue and your world champion runner-ups, Fnatic. John, it was quite the week this past week. I mean, some of the biggest things in general, let's talk Fnatic to kick things off. Fnatic going 0-2, this was a team that went up against IG from China last year in the World Finals, the League of Legends World Championship Finals, and now they start off in the LEC, the formerly EULCS, at 0-2.
Oh, really? You can make an argument they started out 0-3 with their remake in their first game that they were trailing in also. Yeah, Fnatic really struggling their first two games. Nemesis in the mid lane really showing his... I want to put it in a way that doesn't offend him, because he had moments where he played incredibly well. The talent is there. The skill is there. He's just very... Oh, raw. He's very raw for this team. And I feel like the spring split will be a great growing period for him. If you're a Fnatic fan, Joey, I wouldn't be too worried when it comes to this. He's going to have growing bumps. I mean, growing bumps. He's going to have bumps as he's growing in the LEC with Fnatic. Give it time. Even when Caps came over, you know, the spring split, you know, it was kind of an up and down season. And then he really turned it on in his first summer split and became a staple in that Fnatic lineup. If, again, Nemesis, I feel like he'll do just fine. You got to give him time to mesh, work with that team chemistry. I wouldn't be too worried. It was a surprising week one. But, Joey, in the summer split, I believe Fnatic started 0-2 as well. So I'm not too terribly worried just yet.
No, neither am I. And as all these fans out there, both Fnatic fans and people who like to hate on Fnatic, we've seen this last couple mid laners as well. People hated on Vevvin when he came in. They doubted him a ton. Same thing with Cap, same thing with Nemesis here. At the same point, I think Nemesis does bring a very different playstyle. It's almost like a merge of what XPeke, Fevvin, and Caps brought to the table. Caps was very aggressive, and that ended up doing really well for Caps or really poorly for Caps. But Fnatic learned to capitalize on it. They sent Broxa mid and top early, so he's either able to get Caps ahead, or Caps was able to build his own league and Broxa was able to focus top. Nemesis is not building those leads right now. At the moment, I think he dropped as low as 30 or 40 CS down this past game. Up against Origin. So part of the problem, I think, is that they put him on a Galio for two of those three games. Once he was on Akali in that second play of the SK series, I think he played better. I want to see him on more carry champs, and I want to see Broxa give him a bit more priority early in the game. Get Nemesis ahead, then do your normal game. Looking at Broxa, I don't feel like he ganked enough in the first few games either, and I think part of that comes down to team communication. You're losing Caps, who was pretty decently vocal within games, as well as Nemesis, who's overly quiet at the moment. Once you get that communication down, I think we see Broxa start to flow a bit more. Bwipo needs to step back the cockiness a bit and get humbled a bit, which he did this first week. Once you see the teams come together, though, I think this team starts to mesh. I think it is going to be a couple weeks, though. They might get some wins here and there because they are 4/5 of a world championship team, well, 4/6, really, with Soaz there as well. It's going to take time. At the same point, I think Fnatic turns it around about halfway through the spring split. I do not think they finish in first, though.
Okay, you're shining light from week one.
Shining lights of Fnatic or in general?
Oh, in general of the LEC.
The biggest shining light for me is the fact that we saw teams like SK and Origin step up. Origin being one of those teams who's historically been good and historically been really bad. Now it's Officio there in the organization. I think he did a great job getting this team ready. At the same point, they are 1-1 this week. I think moving forward, they're going to continue to get better and better as that team grows. And then SK Gaming, another classical team who was very good back in the days of Sven Skaren being on there. Since then, they dropped out. They were relegated, and they dropped out of the league completely. Now they are back. I think they're revitalized as well. So I like the fact that the mid-tier feels a lot stronger this year than it has in the past couple for the LEC.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like there's a line between your tier one and your tier two. Tier 2 is a lot bigger. It feels like right now in the LEC, there's a lot of evenly matched and really competitive organizations and new organizations. Joe, you hit the nail on the head with SK and Origin. Both highly impressed me when I was watching. I was still expecting the Origin of old, that terrible, terrible Origin team, that Gillette was even questioning whether they want to keep sponsoring XPeke or not. That team had just really disappointed everyone. That superstar team that was just absolute trash. When it comes down to it, and Origin really came out looking really good. Granted, they ended 1-1. It was a strong, strong showing in their first week with a refurbished roster and overall organization. And SK came out They were clicking on all cylinders. There are 1.5 games against Fnatic. This past week, they looked incredibly dominant. They looked focused. Their team chemistry looked great. Everything about the way they played was great. Really looking forward to see SK going further in this split. And really, Selfmade in the jungle, too. Let's talk about him real quick. Against Fnatic, had an amazing game. Really dominated Broxah in the jungle. And just Fnatic overall, it felt like he was everywhere. He was making an impact in every lane, in every fight. He was there being the big difference maker. I am really excited to see Selfmade going forward in this split to see how he grows and becomes a bigger impact, not just for his team, but in the league itself.
Yeah, definitely a slower day two for him. But coming in against Fnatic in day one, he really caught them by surprise. Like you said, not only Broxah, but the whole Fnatic team. Felt like he was ganking just about everywhere. He was really controlling the map. Great creative pathing as well as his warding was very on point. So Selfmade is definitely one to watch coming over as a jungler from Mad Lions, who just won the Iberian Cup with Nemesis actually as a teammate. And he brought over 3 Mad Lions players in that team as well. I believe it was Wurlib came over, and I think the support might have come over as well. I can't remember exactly. But either way, he's coming in with teammates he already knows. He's moving that style right into it. And you could see that synergy, especially in the ganks and top lane with Wurlib up there. So I'm excited to watch Selfmade as we go. But week one is in the books, Sean. Let's talk about week two, because there are quite a few matchups to highlight. Is there one in particular that sticks out to you?
That sticks out to me? I feel like they're all fairly predictable. I am curious. I think SK and Excel Esports, I think that's a matchup there on day two, Saturday, January 26th. That's a matchup that kind of interests me a little bit as well. And I also like Schalke versus Fnatic on day two as well. Those are two that really stand out to me. I want to see Fnatic bounce back. And Schalke had a fairly decent showing in week one as well. I really want to see them go up against the Fnatic team that they've had somewhat decent success against. But Fnatic, really holding their own there. So I want to see Fnatic bounce back there. I want to see if Schalke's for real. And SK and Excel battle the two newcomers. I think that's going to be a really exciting matchup too.
Yeah, I'll jump on that Fnatic Schalke match because you also have Fnatic's coach from last season on Schalke now in Dylan Falco. So the fact you see him returning up against Fnatic, I think is going to be an exciting matchup. The other one to look out for me is both Misfit games. I want to see how Origin and Vitality face up against Misfits. Vitality is one of those teams who did really well at Worlds. They almost made it out of the group of death up against Genji and Royal Never Give Up. Unfortunately, they were not able to make it out, but Vitality did a very good performance. Only switching Kickass out at jungle for Mowgli, bringing him in from Africa Freaks now. I think they're going to be exciting to see how they do against a top contender. Misfits rated number 2 in most people's book at the current moment. And then Misfits up against OG as well. OG look like a top half team. How do they fare against a top 2 team with Misfits? So I definitely like the look of both these Misfits matchups going into week 2. John, before we wrap it up, fans of the LCS kicking off Saturday, January 26th. This next week is the kickoff of the LCS. We can watch John's Cloud9. You can watch Team Liquid with their new Jersey Mike sub deal. Remember, if they win, you can hit up that sub discount. So check it out, LCS, Saturday, January 26th.
Now, Joey, is there a game this upcoming weekend in the LCS that sticks out to you at all?
Let me take a look. Is there one on your mind?
There is. It's the very first match. Team Liquid versus Cloud9. The storyline wrote itself. Jensen makes the move from Cloud9 to Team Liquid, joining his former Cloud9 teammate Impact in top lane for Team Liquid as well. Team Liquid looking incredibly solid. I mean, really, it's hard if you're an NA fan to sit here and go, Team Liquid's not the favorite to win this whole thing. Their roster on paper, they should almost go undefeated, I would make that argument. Cloud9 signing Niski to their mid laner. To be their mid laner, going up against Jensen, he has a lot to prove. That's a big shoe to fill. That's a big lane to fill, if you will. And his very first test with Cloud9 is going to be against Cloud9's old mid laner. So Cloud9 Team Liquid, the very first match of the LCS kicking off on the 26th, that's the one that sticks out to me the most.
Yeah, I definitely think that is a big one. Team Liquid, Cloud9 is that kickoff, and you gave great reasons why. Additionally, I think Cloud9 against 100 Thieves is another one to watch. Cloud9, a lot of people are wondering, with the downgrade at mid laner, potentially with Niski coming in for Jensen, how do we think they're going to fare up against another big team? 100 Thieves obviously being one of those bigger teams coming into the preseason. How do you think they're going to fare, John? Do you take Cloud9 to win this or 100 Thieves?
The question mark has to come in mid lane. Jensen provided that stability mid lane, that dominance mid lane game in, game out, that really Cloud9 could work around. And the other question is Blabber going to start in the jungle, or is it going to be Sven Skarren? You know, there's not a set roster yet. So there's still a lot of question marks coming out from the Cloud9 camp as what kind of style are they going to play? Are they going to go with the future and put Blabber in? Or are they going to put Sven Skarren in, going with the veteran, and let Blabber mature just a little bit more? I feel like if they stick with Sven Skarren, I think Cloud9 goes up against 100 Thieves, and they perform quite well. I do think 100 Thieves is in great position to really be one of the next best teams behind Team Liquid. You know, my heart says Cloud9 goes 1-1 this week, taking the win against 100 Thieves, but it wouldn't surprise me if Cloud9 pulls a Fnatic and goes 0-2.
Okay, I like it, I like it. We'll have to wait and see. Again, Saturday, January 26th is when this is kicking off.
Well, Nation, that will do it for another episode of the Level Up Podcast. But before you go, head on over to patreon.com/OTN and consider becoming a part of the Overtime Network. In return, you will get exclusive access to content that nobody else in the world can get, unless they are a part of the Overtime Network. If you enjoy listening to the Level Up Podcast, let us know. Leave us a review on iTunes and Google Play, or even shoot us a comment on SoundCloud. We would love to hear from you. In fact, we love to hear from all of our listeners so much, we have other ways for you to interact with us. Joey, where else can the Level Up Nation go to interact with this show?
Level Up Nation, head on over to Instagram, Twitter, and or Facebook and find us at the Level Up Podcast. That is the LVLUP Podcast. You can also find us streaming on the regular, this show and much more, at twitch.tv/OTN_live.
All right, make sure you tune in next week as we cover the latest and greatest in gaming and esports news. Do your ears a favor. Hit that subscribe button to know when the next episode of the Level Up Podcast is ready for your listening pleasures. We will catch you all next week. Remember, be nice to your fellow gamers online. And as always,
level up.